All right, welcome to the first of its kind, world-changing manufacturers network. Lisa Ryan has her ears to the ground and her heart in the game. Get ongoing education and new connections right here with Lisa and the manufacturers network. Buckle your seat, listen, and spread the word. Here's Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa Ryan. Welcome to the Manufacturers Network podcast. I'm very excited to introduce you to my friend Heidi Ellsworth today. Heidi is president of the Roofers Coffee Shop. She's been in the roofing and construction industry for 30 years, and she is awesome. So Heidi, welcome to the show.
Lisa, thank you so much. I am so honored to be on this podcast. I'm very excited. I love our conversations, and I'm just really looking forward to this.
All right. So share with us a little bit about your background and what led you to doing what you do with Roofers Coffee Shop.
Once again, Heidi Ellsworth, and I've been in the roofing industry now for 30 years. My dad was actually a general contractor, so I grew up in the trades and started in roofing, working for a company called Malarkey Roofing Company. Believe it or not, really Malarkey Roofing Company.
That's a great name.
I love it. Out of Portland, Oregon. And from there, just have always been on, I had my own ad agency, HJE Marketing. And I also worked for companies like Carlisle Construction Materials, which is a very large manufacturer of roofing materials. And also for startups like Eagleview Technologies, which does measurements of roofs from the air. So worked across the board. But in 2015, I went full-time with Roofers Coffee Shop, which is an online digital platform for the roofing industry. We also have Metal Coffee Shop and Coatings Coffee Shop, which are for the metal industry and also for the waterproofing and overall coatings and surfaces industries. And it's a place where contractors come to get information. They come and we do podcasts just like this. We have webinars, articles. We're constantly very involved in the industry and really looking at what's the next way that contractors learn and can help grow their businesses with great information. So that's what I do today, and I love it.
And so why are you so excited and committed to the roofing industry? Because you do a lot in it.
What a great question. So thank you. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. No one really plans on going into roofing. I can tell you that. Very few, unless you were born into it and you're second or third or fourth generation roofing contractor, most people don't plan on getting into roofing. But when they do, and so in 1993, when I was able to join Malarkey Roofing Company, I realized that this is an industry of amazing people. It's very family-based. A lot of roofing companies and manufacturing and distribution were all started by families. And still to this day, many of them are generational. Coming from a trade company where I grew up working with my dad, who was a general contractor, I found that I really fell in love with that. And one of the things, Lisa, that I always wanted to do was to be able to tell stories. And so I loved telling, no one really told my mom and dad's story about how they had this company and their general contractors and all the beautiful buildings they built. And even though their company wasn't around, I was able to start telling these stories through marketing, through now with the publication of the culture of roofing and the families, the generations of families that have really made it special. How often have you thought, oh, just those roofers, they might be doing cat calls, maybe it's not as professional as you think. But honestly, we have a whole campaign called Roofing Respect that we want to show just how professional and how great this industry is. And so I've just fallen in love with it and with the people, really. It's like home. And now my husband works with Roofers Coffee Shop. Both my kids work with Roofers Coffee Shop. So we also have this generational and family dynamic that just fits right into the industry.
So funny. I think back when just a couple of years ago when we had a roof put on, it was actually during the pandemic and my husband was still furloughed. So you talk about roofing respect. My husband was basically the old guy that was hanging out with the roofers all day, cooking them meals, bringing them coffee and donuts. We had the best service from these people. But I think it goes both ways, because you expect the contractors to be respectful to their customers, but there's also got to be an expectation that, you know what, these are people too, and they deserve to be treated with respect. They deserve to be, they're just not there. They're there to beautify your home and to make your life better. Yeah. Why not just be nice to them?
I know. I'm telling you. And one of the main, what do we need? Food, water, and shelter. You don't have shelter if you don't have a roof. That's right. Just no matter what you're doing, there is a roof involved. And one of the things, Lisa, to your point that I just love is that we have now seen for the longest time, roofing, constructions, people would just take negative, right? And just, I guess that's just our lot in life. But in the last, I've seen it definitely in the last 10 to 20 years, roofing contractors are standing up for their crews. I have talked to roofing contractors who, when their crews, whether they're Hispanic or minorities or everybody else, it doesn't matter who they are being abused, they'll walk off the job site. We'll say, you know what? This is not part of our culture. We don't work with people like this. You can go find somebody else to do it. And when you actually hear people do that, you go, okay, things are changing. This is really not an acceptable way to treat your people. And I think a lot of that, we have to go with the five-star culture or the Uber reviews culture, that reviews are so important, but it's both ways now. Whereas before it was just, you had to take that and it was good customer service. But it's really not the case all the time.
Right. And think about that in an industry where it's hard enough to find people to do the job, to have a reputation that, you know what, I heard about this company and they have your back. They have their workers' back. They don't allow us to be disrespected on the job site, and how much easier it makes it for those companies that are doing the right thing to find and keep really great people.
Exactly. Exactly. If you aren't taking care of your people and you aren't standing up for them and giving them the respect that's there, there's just way too many job openings out there right now. They're going to go find someone who does.
So what are some of the best practices that you're seeing from the contractors, the stories that you've heard? Share with us some of your favorites as far as what creating that workplace culture that really does rock.
I think number one is training. I'm hearing that a lot, and contractors, companies overall are now, at least I don't know if how it was back in the day for you, but back for me, man, I was thrown in the deep end of the pool and said to swim. That wasn't always a positive experience. And I think there still is some that does help you get those chops, but it's not the best way. And training is really one of the number one things that I'm hearing coming out of our industry, is that especially when you think about, this is a dangerous job. If you're in roofing, if you don't have safety training, if you don't understand how to install correctly, not only is your safety as an installer at jeopardy, but it's also the safety of that home later on. If it's not done correctly, keeping it weather tight, making sure it's structurally correct, all of those different things, it's so important and the risk is so high that contractors are realizing training number one. And what they're seeing through that, that maybe started out as risk mitigation, but now what they're seeing is their retention rates are going up, because with more training, the better the retention. I also think the other one that I'm seeing a lot is inclusivity, that we have about 30 to 40% of the roofing industry is Hispanic. And when you look at the rooftop, it's closer to 70%. What we are seeing is, if we are not being inclusive by first languages, by culture, by holiday celebrations, those types of things, really understanding who works for the company and what's important to them, that they're losing people. Because again, there's people out there who are celebrating Cinco de Mayo. There are people who are making the efforts to really make sure that everything is bilingual and that there are translators and that it is an inclusive, welcoming environment. Those things have really, training, inclusiveness through diversity, have made a huge difference in the industry of holding on to people. But I'm going to add one more thing, and that is respect. Construction overall, and I think manufacturing overall, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there was a lot of bullying that went on the roof and overall, and that is changing because people know if there are bullies, if there is bad culture, people are going to leave. And they can't afford to have people leave because there's such a huge labor shortage.
And the thing when you were talking about both the inclusivity and the training part of it, are you seeing a lot of people that are investing in things like English as a second language training, making that available?
Yes, I do. I have a great example of a roofing company in Southern California by the name of Antis Roofing. They do, not only do they do training for English as a second language, and they also have translators, but they also do leadership training in Spanish so that they are growing their employees into leadership positions, really understanding what it means to be a leader. How does that work? And sometimes that means also language classes, but they are also taking other leadership. It's learning Spanish. So it is a give and take back and forth. And they're one of our stars in the industry. So you really see that a lot, but there's a lot of companies across the country who are doing that and doing a lot with leadership. They're also starting to use technology, right? Translators, Google your plugs for translations, really understanding that if we can't communicate, we're not going to be able to provide high performance, high quality installations. And that has to happen. And it keeps everybody happy and it keeps people in because good communication means good culture.
And it keeps them safe too, because they know what they're doing because they've heard it in their language.
Yeah. Yeah. So important. So important to be able to, when you're teaching safety, and safety is not a easy culture to make happen, especially if we have a lot of immigrant culture that comes in and works for us. And safety is not always a part of their countries, their original countries. They aren't tying off. They aren't using ropes. They aren't understanding the guards and everything else that goes into that. And so it's just not the first thing they think about. They just think about that they're amazing roofer and then they can climb anything and they've done amazing things. But the culture in the U.S. of what we've been trying to do, and it's, trust me, this is not, it's not where it needs to be on any level in the U.S., mm-hmm. but there is a culture of safety that you need to tie off. You need to do these right things. So I was just talking to a number of contractors last week and they're like still driving up to job sites and see people not tied off, getting out of the car, taking them off the roof, taking mm-hmm. the next steps, which aren't always pleasant. So it's something really important for the industry. You're up high. You can't be messing around.
Exactly. And even conveying that where you're creating that culture of safety so employees know that the company cares enough about them to send them safely home and in one piece every night. And so it's not so much a punishment as it is an education and a continuous building of the culture of safety.
I'll tell you, and I'll give you another example of a great company out of Texas, K-Post. They're in Dallas. They actually have safety awards. They have overall awards every year, and they invite the families, and they have the families there, and they include the families in the conversation about safety and about how the importance of getting everyone home safe and sound every single night to their families. And that is a great culture. Because now you have not only the employee understanding how much the company cares because of the safety, even though maybe it's annoying at the moment, but they have the family who's, hey, we want you to come home to us and you better be doing it, the right things. And so they really, and I've heard of a number of contractors, by including the families and really talking about this culture, it makes a big difference.
And the other thing that it also means is that when the family is included, they're much less likely to let that employee leave.
Exactly.
Thinking about putting in their notice, they're like, what are you crazy? You can't leave that company. They're amazing. Yes. Nobody's ever taken care of you like they do.
Exactly. It is huge for retention. It is. And same thing. The family's hooked and they don't want them to leave. They were like, no, if you're looking around, you're not going to find 50 cents more an hour doesn't make up for all the benefits, the safety, the culture, everything that goes along with that. So it does, it starts balancing out. Because there, with the labor shortages going on right now, there is, and I'm not saying getting a 50-cent raise isn't a great thing, it is, or getting any kind of raise, but there is people who will pay a lot more money, but then they don't give them any of the benefits. It's not legal. There's no safety. And so making those decisions for employees, and when the family's involved, they're going to care about all of the other things too.
So how are you seeing, speaking of the labor shortage, what are you seeing the companies are doing to really open up the conversation and make roofing an accessible career to younger millennials and Gen Z that, number one, may not have exposure, number two, may not have ever even considered that as a career, and number three, their parents would also not consider it being a good thing to have a kid as a roofer. So lots of things that we're doing and changing the conversation. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, a couple of different things. The National Roofing Contractors Association and their foundation, the Roofing Alliance, are doing some amazing outreach to the next generation. So one, we've gotten very involved with Skills USA. Skills USA is a national program for vocational schools that encourages students, instead of going to a four-year college, to go to a vocational school upon graduation, whether during high school or after, into a community college or just a trade school. And we are very involved because roofing, believe it or not, Lisa, roofing has never been a part of the competition, nothing. We're all just like, where have we been? And so about 3 years ago, NRCA and the Roofing Alliance really made this commitment to getting roofing as part of the competition, first of all. So commercial roofing is part of the competition. And then they also have steep slope roofing with shingles as part of the team build competition, where they build like a mini tiny house. And that is making a huge difference, because now the roofing curriculum's getting into the trade schools. Contractors across the country are talking to their local trade schools or community colleges or high schools about roofing, about being in this competition. And that's just, that's ground level. It's going to take many years for us. We're way behind HVAC or plumbing or electric. They're way ahead of us, but we are getting in that way. And then the other thing that the Roofing Alliance has been working on is construction management universities in schools. And they are working with construction management schools across the country, and we do a student competition. And in that student competition, we have teams come in, and that's really where you get the estimators and you get the salespeople. And these are construction management students, either undergrad or graduates, who are competing as if they have their own roofing company. One of the things that kind of happens out there is there's misinformation in that if you go into roofing, you're going to be up on a roof shingling shingles. Yeah, that's one great job, and you can make good money at that. But you could also go into distribution. You could also go into manufacturing. You can also own your own roofing company. We're seeing that. And so you have young Gen Zs coming out of construction management universities. And before, they would just go with general contractors, right? Burn and turn as project managers. Now we are, through schools like Clemson University, Cal Poly, Colorado State University, and Arizona State University. All of these are now incorporating roofing curriculum. And Clemson is actually going to have a minor in roofing, where now they can come out, go to work for roofing companies, maybe start their own roofing company. And we're seeing that, where young people, Gen Z is very entrepreneurial, and they want these opportunities. And roofing is a great, you can have a very good life and a great career in roofing. And so we're getting that message out through, on the university level, the high school level. We're working on also even talking about getting even lower into the junior high level, so that parents, when a student comes and says, hey, I'm interested in roofing, I've seen these things. And some people just love the heights, love being outside. They don't want to be behind a computer. They want to do these things. And so the parents now have information that can show that they aren't paying for a four-year degree. Most of the trade schools and a lot of the community colleges, they're getting a lot, either 1 or 2 years free. And so they have no debt, and they're making, starting out, $60,000, and then it goes up from there. So it's a great place. And I think that's all parents want to know, right? Parents want to know, this is a good trade. There's good money. and it's going to be a great career for you. And we're really working on getting that out there.
So what role is technology playing right now in the roofing industry?
A lot. When you start talking about Gen Zs,
yes,
that's what they care about a lot. They want to know, how's the technology? So there has been this revolution. I'm going to call it not just an evolution. I'm going to call it a revolution within roofing of second, third generation families and these young people coming in and saying, clipboard out, phones in, iPads. We need to do things different. We need to have CRMs. We need to have project management software. We need to do all of these things that will automate the business and provide a better customer experience overall. And so we're seeing this from, like I talked about, Eagle View Technologies, where now through aerial imagery, they can get full roof measurements and 3D diagrams. We have drones that are being flown daily over roofs to look for damage, to do measurements, to have the beautiful 3D models, and then all the software that is going on. And then AI is starting to just, it is on its way into roofing. We actually have contractors who have a form on their homepage where a homeowner can come in, put in their address, and answer a couple questions. What are you interested in? Shingles, metal, whatever, and have an instant quote back to them within minutes. And
wow,
this is changing the consumer experience, buying patterns, and it's differentiating contractors around technology, because the ones who are adopting this and doing this are getting speed to lead. They are getting to that lead so much faster. They are working with that homeowner or building owner so much faster, and they're closing the deals. Whereas the old way of doing things, pick up the phone, different things, is slowly but surely starting to, it's just not a good business model. And so that's one of the things I see with this next generation coming up, is they're the ones who are going to implement all this. They're the ones who are going to push and say, we need automation. We need to do this. And they're critical. They're critical to the roofing industry and the success going forward. So I think, and I'm not even talking about robotics yet. Next week, we'll be in New York for a conference where we're going to see one of the first robots that shingles roofs.
What?
So, yes. So cool. Renovate Robotics. Check it out online. I have created a robot. It's like a box that straps on a roof. And then it reminds me of a printer cartridge. It just goes and back and forth.
Really?
On the roof, hammering shingles. You fill it back up just like you would paper. Fill it back up with shingles and it keeps going. And
wow.
One of the first robots that is really making a splash in the industry. But when I was at World of Concrete, they also had robots that can draw on the roof to help with this on layout and design for solar, for HVAC. So the robots on the roof it's in infancy right now. Next 5 years, it's going to just totally explode. Because when you have as big a labor shortage as we do, going back to what we were talking about, you're either going to need to have immigration, which we don't right now, and that we're lobbying for in DC, or you're going to have automation and technology. And so those things are going to get filled in, and it's going to happen because it's just the way Americans work, or probably everybody.
And I remember the first time I spoke at IRE, the International Roofing Expo, they were first starting to talk about going paperless, like you just said, with the Gen Zs coming in and wanting to do things on their phone and iPad. And even the working schedules, and I talk about that one participant in my program all the time, that they went to a Monday through Friday work week.
Yeah.
And they only install roofs during the week, and they give their employees the weekends off. And we talked about, were there some jobs that they didn't get because they wanted the roofs installed on the weekend? Yeah. But were they more profitable? Yeah, because they weren't spending all their time trying to find employees, because that was one of the biggest benefits. It's like that whole flexibility, work-life balance, that is impacting every generation, and especially again, younger millennials and Gen Z, where that's an expectation. So have you also seen things like that happening with flexibility?
Yeah, remote is huge. And people will say, you can't be remote if you're working on a roof. Very true. But you can not have to go into the office. You can just go to the job site and not have to go to the office. Just go to the job site. We are seeing 4-day work weeks, 10 days, and then rotating the crews. We're seeing a lot in the southern climates where they work at night because it's just too hot and we have huge problems with heat stress on the roof. And so there's a lot of things that are changing. Remote working is one of the biggest ones. And also finding that hybrid, because I think what a lot of people have found is that some people still want to be in the office, but some people don't. And how do you get the best talent and find that combination? So when you're talking about the office, manufacturing, distribution, those types of things, that really has, we're seeing a lot of hybrid. In the field, we're just seeing a lot more flexibility. And one of the things that's really interesting too, that has been coming to the forefront, is the fact that we've always thought in the past, it's just women who need time for childcare, who need time to take care of aging parents, who need family time, right? Flex time, which we really haven't gotten and we're still working at getting. Right. But one of the things that's really coming to the forefront too, is that that's the same for men. There are a lot of single dads. There are a lot of families that both parents work and both parents need flexibility to take care of the family. And so we've started to see that too, that flexibility of being able to pick up kids, being able to go to sporting events, be able to have that rich culture. And the companies that do that, again, retention levels just go through the roof because no pun intended, but the retention really makes a difference because they feel like they aren't having to choose between their family or between work.
Absolutely. As we're getting to the end of our time together, is there anything that we covered a lot of ground? Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I did? Or do you have some final thoughts for the people listening?
The first time I saw you speak, you talked a lot about thanking your employees. And my question was, can you thank them too much? And I know I always bring this up when we talk, but it really made a profound statement in my mind for me, because I feel like I say thank you all the time, but I've really tried, because of you, to have a very intentional gratitude, intentional thank yous. And I see that happening again more because the message spreads, right? You talk to other people and as we go through there. So when we're talking about cultures and really being thankful, I feel that's one of the things that has really taken our business to the next level is being thankful and being proud of our, when I look at the people who work for a Roofers Coffee Shop, we have about 30, actually someone corrected me yesterday, we have 31 employees across the country, all remote. And they're 70% Gen Z, believe it or not. And then there's a few of us Gen Xers and a few millennials in the middle. And the way the culture works and just listening to your presentation, Lisa, I guess I want to thank you because listening to your presentation really, again, reinforced something that I think is so important, but in many places I've worked was not. And we continue to reinforce that not only into our business, Roofers Coffee Shop and all of our coffee shops, but I share that through the industry, being involved with all the National Roofing Contract Association, Roofing Alliance, all the boards I'm on. That is just something that we have to continue to take to the next level.
Yeah, and that absolutely works because everybody wants to feel that they are valued and appreciated. And with your question, can you overthank? It really comes down to not if you are specific and you're taking the time to notice specifically what people are doing, because then your employees know that you are paying attention to the good they do and then just not just calling them out when things go wrong.
Exactly. Intentional gratitude.
Exactly. Heidi, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show with me today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here, Lisa. Anytime. I love this conversation. Thank you.
I'm Lisa Ryan, and this is the Manufacturers Network Podcast. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Manufacturers Network podcast. Do me a favor and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can grow this network and connect more fantastic folks just like you. You can either send your buddies to the website at manufacturers-network.com or share the Manufacturers Network podcast on your LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you and your industry friends hang out. The bigger and faster we grow the network, the stronger and deeper the community we'll all have. Thanks again, and I appreciate you.